For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, April the 22nd, 2000. Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Brogdon, an electrical engineer from Jacksonville, Illinois, is the speaker of the evening.
Glory to God. It's been a blessing to be here in this series of meetings. I appreciate everyone, new ones that I've met. I appreciate getting reacquainted with some of the older ones that I've met, some of those have been here before. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I was in a meeting not too long ago, and it was quite interesting, and I was getting ready to quit. And I thought, you know, Lord, you're not showing me anybody else. I'll just go back and take up and start doing. As I was walking up with my back to the people, the Lord said, there's a lady sitting back over in the corner, and she is crying out to me right now, Lord, I need an answer. So I turned around and I walked back to her and I said, the Lord said, you just cried out to him right now and you want an answer. And she broke down. And the Lord had the answer for her. We have to have our ears attuned and ready for the Spirit of God, because we don't know at what moment He wants to use us.
Amen.
Amen. He wants to use you.
Hallelujah.
Say this with me. The Lord
wants to use me
personally. Amen. That's the truth. And that, what I've been doing is going around in the body of Christ, and the Lord has let me go. He's raised me up for what the work that I can do. I can't do what these other ministries can do, but I know what I can do for the Lord. Not for David, but for the Lord. And the Lord wants to raise up His people, and He wants to train, and He wants to teach His people how to flow in the gifts and use the gifts. You know, primarily the church, as Brother Bob has said, has been selfish. And we've wanted to use those gifts in the church body, period. But God wants us to be our ministries that have come into the kingdom because of the gifts that our people use in the world. A word of knowledge. You can be in a shopping center. You can be in a... my wife, when she goes grocery shopping, she's always looking for someone there that the Lord wants to have her speak to and give a word to. Now, we don't go up and say, thus saith the Lord. That scares the britches off some of them. But she'll go over and get close and I noticed, dear, that something's been amiss. There's something's wrong here in your life. How did you know that? Do you know such and such? Has somebody talked to you? No. And then she'll begin to explain about the Lord and how the Lord has revealed these things. And it's a tool for evangelism. That's what the gifts are for. Tools for evangelism. And why aren't we doing it in a church? Why aren't we using them? Because we've never been trained. We've never been taught. We've thought that they've always had to be in the church and be used in the church. But God, I tell you what, when he baptized those 120 in the upper room, they got full and they got energized and they went out. And it says they were added unto. And then it says they were multiplied because they were training and discipling others. How many has ever used the word mentor? You know where mentor comes from? Socrates had a man, his name was Mentor. And this man, Mentor, discipled Socrates' students. And that's where the name Mentor come from. It's a man-made thing. But we need to use the terminology disciples. We need to make disciples of the nations. We need to make disciples, don't we, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it's so important in this day and this hour to see the body of Christ trained up. and trained up in prophecy. You need to prophesy. Did you know you could? Yes, you can. And it's really easy once you hear the voice of the Lord. You have to hear the voice of the Lord. And then you can do that. And people tell me all the time, you can't do that. But I've been doing it for almost 5 years now, so don't tell me it can't be done. And people say, well, you're in divination. I said, well, if that's what they call the Holy Ghost, then that's what it is. But you're standing in a judgment right here if you're saying that's divination. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Read it. God wants you to prophesy. Why? So that you can edify, encourage, and comfort the body of Christ. Amen? He wants you to do that. Don't you need it? Did you feel better when the word of the Lord came to you this evening? You felt like, hey, God, you know what's going on in my life. I haven't just been crying out to you. You know. Thank you, Lord, for answering.
Hallelujah.
Amen? You know, and ever since that lady back over there, this lady, Linda, or what's your name? Valerie? No, the other one back here in the back. What's your name again? Alice. Excuse me. Alice cried out, and the Lord's telling me that others of you have been crying out for a word. You want a word. You want the Lord to speak to you.
Amen.
You want the Lord to give you some direction.
Hallelujah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You need some direction in your life. Do you know right now, and let's go look over in the Word of the Lord right quickly, because we find that in the, let's go to Nehemiah. We'll call this shooting from the hip. What do you think? Or better yet, let the Holy Ghost bring it out. Amen. In our evenings of teachings, I take my notes in there, but I might as well leave them at home, because the Spirit of God just moves, and we get the best things from the Holy Spirit and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just awesome. And people are thrilled. How many of you have dreams? Oh, my heavens. You ever had a vision? Anybody had visions? Oh, my goodness. You ever wondered what they were? Some say no, some say yes. Well, that's a little area that the Lord's been taking me in and teaching others how to interpret your dreams and your visions. And it's been exciting. Because once you come to the school and you get taught, after that, when others come in, I use you. I don't do the interpretation anymore. I use you to interpret and help others to interpret their dreams and visions. And it's been so awesome to see the body of Christ come to the knowledge of these things and begin to use these things, and they're excited.
Amen.
Because they're being used. And they're helping people, their neighbors, they're going over and telling the people next door. They're going in the shopping malls and telling others. Boy, I get excited about that. In 1980, the Lord showed me His people, and He showed me how they were going out, and God was placing them and moving them around, and they were so full of the Holy Ghost, and they were so full of the anointing, and they were full, and they were just, the gifts of the Spirit were moving out of them, and they were doing and ministering unto many, and it was awesome. I said, Lord, I can't wait to the day to see this army of Yours moving like that. And His reply to me was, keep yourself pure and holy and you'll see it. Pure and holy. Nehemiah, was he a restorer?
Yes.
He came to restore things, didn't he?
Yes.
And he was a man that he cried out, didn't he, unto the Lord. And the Lord heard his cry, did he not?
Yes.
And we find in chapter 1 of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4 says that he heard about the great afflictions and the reproaches, and the wall of Jerusalem was broken down, and the gates thereof were burned with fire, it says. And it came to pass that when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Do you think he was talking about his transgressions and his iniquities and his sins? I believe he was. I believe he was. And he cried. He cried unto the Lord. Do you think the Lord heard him?
Yeah.
Sure did, didn't he? And he gave him favor, didn't he? Chapter 2. Gave him favor, didn't he? And because he came into the king's presence. Chapter 2, verse 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad? Seeing thou art not sick, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. You know, God allows things to happen in our life, and people will see in our faces sometimes that there's a problem. And this man, Nehemiah, he was so concerned about I don't think he was so concerned about Israel so much as he was the walls and Jerusalem and the city. But then he became concerned about the people when he got there. It wasn't until he got there he got concerned with the people. Concern about you. And God is raising up people to help you. And then you in turn to help others. And then they in turn to help others. To help others. Look with me over in 2 Timothy. Paul had this son in the faith, Timothy. And he loved him dearly. And because he loved him dearly, he wrote him these letters because Timothy was about ready to exit Ephesus. He was ready to fly. He'd had it up to here with everything that was going on. He wasn't getting any help at all from the elders. In fact, they were coming against him. And he was sickened over the whole thing, and he was getting ready to go. And do you think that this letter came right in time? Yes. Came right in time. For in chapter 1, he says, verse 6, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of whose hands? My hands. For God hath not given us something, the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Timothy, let's paraphrase this today. Timothy, my son, I know what you're going through. I've been there. Timothy, but remember this. Remember that time I laid my hands on you? Remember the time that the Holy Ghost came on you and you were just super joyous and you were walking and the gift of God was working in your life? Remember that? Timothy, stir it up. It's not gone. Stir it up. How do we stir it up? Praying in the Holy Ghost. How many of you pray in the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
How many of you... No, I won't get into all this. It's good that you pray in the Holy Ghost. My grandmother is 86 years old, and in 1994 she got saved and come out of Catholicism and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And she come to me, and she one day we were in a meeting out in the West Coast where they live, and she said to me, I'm sorry, I don't pray like you in that tongue. I said, Grandma, you're not supposed to. It's all yours. And she prays because of her bringing up in the Catholic religion. She prayed three times a day. She prayed in the morning, she prays at noon, and she prays in the evening before she goes to bed. But she used the rosary then, see. Now she's got rid of all that garbage. And now she's praying in the Holy Ghost, and she's praying three times a day in the Holy Ghost. 1 hour in the morning, at noon, and then in the evening. Then she prays in English about the same amount. She says, I can't do the work that you do, but I can do this thing. I can pray for you. Bless my grandmother. My grandfather, before he passed away, when I was out here last October, and I went to Oregon, and we had meetings out there in Oregon and Washington, and I went over and saw my grandparents who live in Oregon, and got to just really pray with them. And before I left the place, I knew I would never see my grandfather alive again. Nobody had to tell me. He was in the best of health. looked chipper. And 30 days later, on his birthday, him and my grandmother, they used to sit in the kitchen table and pray and do. He is saved. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost at a young age. But he said he was sat down in his easy chair, and he went to sleep. He told me before, he says, I know I'm going to die. It's inevitable for my age. And he said, but I'd like to just go to sleep in my easy chair. I said, the words out of your mouth, so be it unto you. He went to sleep in his easy chair and he never woke up. The words of our mouth. We had a glorious service. Hallelujah. Praise God. But here in Timothy, Paul is encouraging Timothy. Chapter 2, he says, verse 2, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I believe you're faithful. Say with me, I am faithful.
I will do
the works of the Lord.
Every day.
Not every other day.
Not every other day.
But every day.
Now
the Lord's recording these things.
Amen.
And it's so awesome to do this every day. Every day. In my office I have a Bible that sits on my desk. And people come in there and they're convicted because of the Bible. Not because of me. But that Bible sits on my desk. And they'll come in, they can be cursing outside, I can hear them cursing up like the troopers, you know, outside. As soon as they walk in that office and they see that, they shut up. And we've had, in the last 9 months or so, we've had a lot of things happen in the industry that I'm at. And with that, a gentleman that shares an office with me there, he was a little bit convicted, and he didn't like me being in there, to be honest. You know, he just didn't like me being in there, but he never said anything. He had a good heart about it. And there were some things that happened one day on the job, and we just needed an answer from the Lord. And I was sitting in my chair, and he looked over at me, and he says, "Aren't you going to pray?" Well, that's a sign for me to pick up my Bible and look to see what I need to pray. So I picked up my Bible, I turned to Psalms 37, I prayed Psalms 37, and within an hour and a half, everything was corrected. An hour and a half. It was God. But you know what was a witness to this man? And he had a heart problem, and he wanted me to come to the hospital. And I went to the hospital there, and I prayed with him. And he asked. He wanted me to come and pray with him. See, we can be a witness where we're at. I had a man come to my job. I was on my job, and he came in, and he had a problem. And he was diagnosed with cancer. He went to give blood for his mother-in-law, who had cancer, and they diagnosed him with cancer, and leukemia. And I told him, I said, I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray for you. You know, and things happened at that time, and I couldn't pray for him right there, but he wanted to leave, and I said, go ahead and leave. But I want you to know before you leave, or as you're leaving here, I'm going to pray for you anyway, even though you're not here. I'm going to pray. And let's see if the Lord wants to do something in this situation. 2 hours later, I got a phone call from his wife, and she wanted to know where her husband was at. And as she was talking with me, he came in the door of the house. And wife was just, I could tell from her voice something exciting had happened. And what it was, they found out, they did another test before he came there or whatever, and things of blood. What they found out was, they couldn't find any cancer this time. They couldn't find anything. You know that witness to the fella? And he came back to work, and with tears, he told me, thank you. I told him, I said, you need to get your life right. You need to get your life right with the Lord. And you need to, if you haven't made that commitment with the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to do it. And today is the day. The Lord has answered. Today is the day. Why don't you do it today? When you're the boss, you can do these things. That helps. But there have been many times on jobs and where I've been throughout the United States and things, working in the industry that I've been, I always look at the gifts of the Spirit for a tool that I can use for the Lord Jesus Christ to evangelize and bring someone. There have been many that have been backslidden that the Lord showed me. They've been backslidden. And I went over and just pulled them off to the side, you know, and talked with them a little bit. And you ever see, he was an older black fella, was 6'7", weighed about 350 pounds, and he wasn't fat. It was all muscle. Hard as nails. And I'm giving you these testimonies so you know what you can do if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your lives. And this gentleman, who I saw him limping in one day, limping, you know, hey, it's an opportunity for Jesus. That's what we got to look at. This is an opportunity for Jesus. So I got him off to the side. And I asked him, I said, do you mind if I pray for you? That's how I put it, brother. Do you mind if I pray for you? And he told me, he said, no, I don't mind. Just like that. And I'm looking up at him, you know. And I said, well, then get that chair and sit down. And so he went and sat down, and I reached down for his legs, and he could hardly get him up. Pain. He wouldn't say anything, but I'd see the pain. And he had one leg that was about that much shorter than the other, approximately 2.5-3 inches. And so I prayed, and I... Now people tell me, well, what if he doesn't have faith? Too bad, I got it.
That's right.
I don't care if he's got it or not. I've got faith because I've seen the Lord do it too many times. Doesn't matter if they're saved or they're not saved. And guess what? The leg came out. The pain left. He cried. He came to the Lord that day. He was the best evangelist. He lived in St. Louis, Missouri, 90 miles from where I live, but he came to our ministry every day, or every day we had it open there. He came, and on Sundays he would pick up street people. Oh my.
Glory to God.
They come in, they didn't, you know, they're street people. They live on the street, out of bags and stuff. And this is what I teach our people, our ministry. I said, be open to the Spirit of God. When these people come in, when new people come in, we need to minister to them through prophecy, through healing, whatever is needed, through a word of knowledge, through a word of wisdom. We need to minister to them. Be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And everyone that he brought in, every one of them, had a word of the Lord given to them, maybe several, got healed if they needed it, got delivered from various bondages, and got saved. Now, I didn't say get saved first. I said it went through this process. God got a hold of them and got their attention, and they got saved. And there's a few of them that got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And some of them got jobs. Hallelujah. And this brother, Ted, he was instrumental. If they didn't have a job, he made sure he'd go find them one. Hallelujah. And see, that's what the body of Christ is about.
Yes, it is.
This is exciting. And when the body of Christ is being the body that Jesus Christ wants us to be. Amen?
Amen.
But we need to commit things unto faithful people. You're faithful. The Lord has called you. He's chosen you for a work. You know, some places that I go to, people say, the Lord wants to use me? But you don't know what I've done. The Lord does, and that's supposed to be under the blood. If He's forgotten about it, why don't you? Bottom line. Forget about it. Move on. We have a saying in our ministry. Have it in the back so everybody sees it. It says, move up in Jesus. I didn't say down. I said move up in Jesus. We need to be moving up. Amen? Whew, glory to God. There are a lot of things that I wanted to talk about. But, you know, the Spirit of God is moving right now to... I believe He wants to get you energized. He wants to use you. And you want to be used, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting? You see, in many places, it's been nobody wants to use people. It's always this quote leadership. And after they have me in there, the leadership doesn't know what to do. Because it's stirring up the people and getting them to move. And I believe that's the heart of Glenn and Irma. You see? Their vision was just not to come bring people here, get deliverance, right? And then stop there and then come back. It's to teach them and to train them, hey, this is a place you can start to have deliverance. You can learn about it. You can be trained in it. But guess what? They can't come to California all the time and help you out. Or New York or wherever you're from. It's time for you to learn and to grow up. Yeah. If you want to be a part of the remnant body, God wants you to grow up. He wants you to come up into Him. He wants to restore. Look over in thank you, Lord. Over in 2 Peter. Chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Lord. Woo, glory. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, verse 12. I'm sorry, for those of you who want to know that verse. Wherefore, I will not put you, it will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. What's the present truth? What is God doing today? It's present truth, isn't it? Present truth came back here and they were getting established in truth. You think God stopped with that? No. He's still bringing forth truth, isn't He? Truth. Truth. And He says, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle. That's this right here. This body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He wants you to come to remembrance. There's some truths that have been coming into the church at that hour, and there's truths coming now, and God wants to stir you up and put you in remembrance. And don't forget these things. Don't forget what the Lord's doing. Don't forget that the Lord wants to use you today. This is truth today. This is truth. Hallelujah. The Lord wants you. But look at chapter 2, verse 2. Well, look at verse 1. But there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. If they're false, are you think they're bringing forth the truth?
No.
No truth. It's all false. You know, there's too many people that are saying they're prophets or prophetesses. That just because you prophesied once doesn't make you a prophet or a prophetess.
Amen. Amen.
Just because you gave the word of the Lord one time doesn't make you that.
Amen.
That is an office, and God will bring you up in that office. And He always does something in that office. He begins to bring the person through many things to shape them for His use. God will always shape you. And who shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring up upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Oh boy. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Well, I don't know. You think that happens? Is that going to happen today? 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy. You think we're in the last days?
Yeah.
Sounds like it, doesn't it? We're in those days. We're in those days. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. We're in the days. Paul, writing to Timothy, says in verse 1 of chapter 3, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. That word perilous means dangerous. Very dangerous, in fact. Times are coming. And he lists several things down through here of the signs of this last days. And it's not my intention to get into that. But verse 12 is what I want to get into. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we're going to live a godly life, they're going to persecute us, folks. They're going to call us all sorts of names. But that's all right. Go over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This may not sound like a Passover thing, but it is. This is first fruits. We just entered into first fruits this evening. And you're a first fruits company, ain't you?
Yes.
Huh? That's Southern talk, ain't you? Chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 11 says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for whose name's sake? For my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." We can rejoice. Hallelujah. I'm being bad-mouthed for Jesus. I'm being bad-mouthed in the church for Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm being bad-mouthed in the streets for Jesus. Hallelujah. I can rejoice in that. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, over in 2 Peter again, chapter 2. This is a little, you know, walking back and forth. Well, no, I'm not as bad. I hope. Well, okay, thank you. I should have said, hold your place over there. Thank you. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9 says, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished." God knows how to deliver you when it gets too rough. When the fire gets turned up and you need to get out. As a brother gave a good example last night, I really appreciated that. How things happen and God shuts you down or moves you out, does things. But God knows how to deliver you and how to get you out to the place where He wants to take you. Hallelujah. You know, and there are many people today that are prophesying, and there are many people today that are healing, laying hands on people that are getting healed. Sometimes I wonder about the laying on of hands sometimes, and sometimes about the healings they get. But God will use whomsoever He wants to use. Right? Matthew chapter 7, the Lord says to this select group, verse 21, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does something, that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." What is the will of the Father? To produce disciples. He gave us the commission, didn't He? To go into the nations, to go. Why are we sitting? He says to go. To go and to bring forth disciples. And He wants us to go out into the nations. And praise God. And look over, everybody knows this, and maybe not everybody. Go over to Mark chapter 16. Those who have been in the body of Christ, maybe they've heard this. And the commission was to go you into all the world and to preach the gospel unto every creature. Verse 15, 16, 15. "And he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them." Number one sign is they're going to cast out devils. Is that right?
Yeah.
"In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues." That ruffles a lot of people's feathers right there, just those two things. And there's a lot of people who like to just take that out, and take a marker, and mark that out of their Bible. That's passed away, yes, and the tongues is of the devil. But they like the next verse, verse 18. "They shall take up serpents." No, they don't like that either. Cross that one off. It should read, "They shall remove serpents." Aliens, devils. "And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." You know, last night that was so good, how the Spirit of God moved, and how those who were sensitive to the Spirit moved with Him. and how, you know, there was no lengthy prayers, there was no nothing. We just did and was obedient to what the Word of God said. And obedience brings about something mixed with your faith. And sometimes it doesn't need your faith. If I'm believing for a healing for you, and God said to lay hands on her, I'm going to heal him. Hey, I don't need your faith. I got my own. It's that Holy Ghost faith. And I know the Lord's going to do it. By the way, I don't know the Spirit of God speaking to me here about somebody here needs to know this. That there's somebody that you know that has, and I don't know who it is, he's not pointing it out, but maybe several. There's some a woman or women that you know, or a woman that you know that has breast cancer. Okay, and this breast cancer is caused from unforgiveness. Anytime that there's a woman that has breast cancer, it's because of unforgiveness. The root, that's the very root of it. That's the very root of it. And when they get to the when you get to the root of it and get them set free from there, and they confess and forgive those that have hurt them, then the Lord will heal them. It's been 100%. I've prayed for those women that and you know the sad thing is I've had two women that wouldn't confess and they told me they had aught against their husbands and they couldn't. I cannot forgive him. I could never forgive him for what he said to me and what he did. I said, well, you can either forgive, get deliverance, and get healed of this thing, or you can keep it, and eventually you're going to probably die with it. I just get that blunt. You know? You have the choice. I'm not going to force anything on you. The Lord didn't. But here's what I know is 100%. It's 100%. The Lord showed me that back years ago, back in the 80s. I was wondering, because there's a friend of ours had it, and I went to them and prayed, and the Lord told me that this person had unforgiveness in her heart. And I asked her, and she said, oh, I love everybody. I don't have any unforgiveness toward anyone. I prayed for her anyway. Me and this other gentleman went there, and when we went home, by the time I got home, she was on the phone with my wife talking, wanted to talk to me, and she was bawling like a baby, and she said, I have unforgiveness toward my brother, and I've not seen him for over 40 years. We have not communicated in that long a time. I don't know where he's at or whatever. And then she told me the situation. The situation was when her mother and father passed away, that her mother had left certain artifacts, certain things for her, valuable pieces, and had her name, and her brother knew this. There were just the two of them. And her brother got to the house before she did, and he took all these things out and sold them because he needed the money. And she held that in her heart towards him and not spoken to him. Now, she told me this thing because she wanted to get healed. I told her, this is the option. You know, the Lord's showing it, revealing it. And she asked me over the phone, would you pray with me over the phone? I said, I'll do that, but I want to come to your house. And I'll be there tomorrow. I'm not coming back. It's a little while. But I'll come tomorrow, and we're going to deal with this thing. And she said, I would like to get in touch with my brother, but I don't know where he is. The people in the family don't know where he's at. 40 years. Can you imagine that? And I said, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to send angels out to find him and have him call you. She said, would he do that? I said, yes, he would for you. If you're sincere about this and you want to get this right, he would for you. And so we prayed that evening. Before I could get over the next morning to her house, when I got there at the house, she had already was on the phone with her brother who had called her up. Lord works quickly when you get serious. I saw the two masts that were in her breast were bigger than a softball. They were huge. She had a Spirit-filled doctor. Thank God for the Spirit-filled doctors. We went over, we broke that curse. After she forgiven her, we broke the curse. We cast the spirit out. We commanded that to dry up from the root in the name of Jesus Christ. She was going, 2 days later, she was going to the hospital to have them surgically removed. As she went, I said, get a second opinion from your doctor, have him take another, you know, x-ray or whatever they do. Have him do that. She said, would you come to the hospital with me? I went, myself and some other gentlemen. As we went there, and I was introduced to the doctor, wonderful man. You could see Jesus in this man. I said, man, if I ever want to have to be operated on, I want to come to you. But I told him what we did and everything. And he says, well, I believe that the Lord can do these things. He says, we'll take her up and we'll take another shot at her, is what he said. So he did. He took her up there and he took another x-ray of her. And he came back. Now, he had the x-rays of before, and he brought the x-rays of after we had prayed for her. Less than 48 hours, or a little over 48 hours it would have been. They had went from the size of a softball down to the size of a golf ball that quickly. And he was taking her in to have the surgery, to take the surgery, but he didn't have to, something. He said he could go in underneath the armpits rather than going in wherever. I don't know anything about it all. He was just telling me about it. So after the surgery, we're staying there. We're praying. We're just thanking the Lord for what He's doing and so forth. The doctor came out, and he had this confounded look on his face. He told us, as we were sitting there, he says, as we opened her up to take these things out, they were shrinking as we were taking them out. And he said, we were hoping and praying that there would be something left so we could send it in to find out if there was, in fact, any cancer there. That's how the Lord was working. So, you know, we need to get to the root of things, don't we? We need to find some things out. Hallelujah. And that was just a little pee in the soup for whoever it was out here. Needs to know that. Hallelujah. Turn over to Revelation. I'm going to be like Tommy now. I'm going to stay in Revelation. No, I don't go that far. Let's go to chapter 2. I love my brother Tommy. I love ministering with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 2 of Revelation. It says, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven candlesticks. I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Oops, verse 4, nevertheless. You notice, I don't know if anybody's ever noticed, but you read these letters, as our brother said, to these churches, and the Lord Jesus Christ always builds them up in the beginning. He tells them, what good things you've done. Oh, my heavens, all this, that, and the other. But nevertheless, when I see that little word, you cringe a little. Then he begins to tell you the bad things. But he says here, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Now, I've heard this taught so many ways. The word first is protos in the Greek, and the word love is agape. And there are two agapes that in Strong's Concordance, and it's the number one agape. And this means love feast. You have left your love feast. Wow, love feast. What love feast is he talking about? Let me show you. This love feast. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writing to the church of Corinth, and he was instituting the Lord's Supper unto them. And this was the feast that the Lord was instituted. When did he institute this? Anybody know? When did the Lord give the Lord's Supper? When did he show them this is what he wanted them to do? Passover, wasn't it? At the Passover feast. The Passover feast is when he instituted the supper. And he says, Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, verse 23 of chapter 11 says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That's Passover. My heavens. We're remembering the Passover. Remember the Lamb, what he did for us at that time. How he brought us into covenant relationship with him. How he endued us with power. And he's given us power over all that of the enemies. Did you know that? You have power over all that of the enemies? We don't act like it, do we? But he has given us that authority, hasn't he? Verse 27 says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." You know, we have to examine ourselves. Lord, am I in right standing with You? I wouldn't dare come and take the cup and the bread without examining myself first. Lord, have I allowed any iniquities to come back? Am I walking in any sins, Lord, that I have not asked You to forgive me for? Is there anything I've transgressed of Yours? Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me with Your blood. Lord, so that I want to take of this bread and I want to eat of this cup. Because we go on down and it says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." I was in a meeting over in the state of Iowa, and there was a lot of flesh in that meeting. That's all. I'll just put it that way. A lot of soulishness, a lot of flesh. But God bless you, John, Timothy. Hallelujah. There was a woman that came in that they brought in a wheelchair, and it was a heavy-duty wheelchair. She was very, very, and I want to use the word very, very, obese. And she needed a healing in her body. And I was sitting back in the crowd, and they wanted the ministers to come up and pray for her. And the Lord says, "Sit where you're at. Don't go up." And I said, "Lord, why? Why didn't You want me to go up there, first of all?" You know, you get curious. Maybe I'm the only one that does. You get curious. Why, Lord? And the Lord spoke to me and showed and revealed to me that, you know, she was speaking, first of all, number one, He said, "She's always putting down my anointed ones that I send in. She's always praying soulishly, and I have reprimanded her many times, and she has not heard and will not hear. She goes and she takes of my supper, and she's still doing the things that I told her not to." And the Lord says, "I've turned her over to the destroyer." Now they got up and they put on one of the most fleshly shows I've ever seen over this woman. They were dancing around her. They took oil and they poured over her and they did all kinds of things. One gentleman was trying to get her up out of that wheelchair. I felt sorry for the gentleman, but he was trying to get her up and she couldn't move. And you could see death come over her. God had turned her over to the destroyer because she had spoken against His anointed. Watch what you say. Watch what you say. So we need to examine ourselves. We need to judge ourselves so that we're not judged. It says in verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." We need to do that. I can't do it for you unless the Spirit of God shows me something. And He doesn't want to do that because He's a gentleman. I'm telling you, He is. But if it gets bad, He's going to reveal some things. I remember being down here, it's been several years ago, and the Lord, I was working in prophecy. And the Lord had me give a word to a young gentleman back in the back. And the word was, "Stop fleecing my sheep." You remember that? Those of you who are here, "Stop fleecing my sheep." And I went on to give the further word. And I said, "You need to go run to the altar right now and get things right. Or else you're not going to like what the Lord's going to do to you tomorrow." Now that was very urgent. He came down here and he got some help. He got prayed for. He repented. And I believe there's several men came down and prayed for him and he got some deliverance. But he was playing around with God. He was playing around with God's people. He was telling them things. He was lying and stuff. I tell you, when God gets full of it, He's going to bring somebody around to read that book. And He's going to tell it like it is. And we need this in the body of Christ to straighten it out. It's needed in the body of Christ to straighten things out. Amen. Now, my prayer is that God would raise up His true prophets and send them throughout the nations to straighten out what needs to be straightened out. Because I'm telling you, when the true prophets of God speak, God moves. God will move on His Word. That's the Rhema Word that comes forth, and He's going to move on it. This is the Logos Word, and He'll move on that also if you pray it, but He's going to move on that Rhema Word. We as a people need to get our relationship right with Jesus. We need to judge ourselves and look at ourselves. I set myself aside every month to look at myself thoroughly. I ask the Lord to look at me thoroughly. If there be anything whatsoever that would offend Him, that would in any way cause me to be less effective for Him in the kingdom and bringing kingdom truths. At once a year, I set myself aside at the beginning of the year to pray and to fast and seek the Lord and to ask Him and judging myself. We're in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You know what unleavened bread speaks to us of? What is leaven? Anybody know what leaven spiritually means? Sin, doesn't it? Speak to us of sin. There's leaven you women put in your bread. What does it do to that bread? Puffs up, rises. Well, that's what sin does. It'll puff you up. It causes you to rise up against God, against His Word. I don't believe these things. So in the feast that we're in right now, Passover, Jesus was a Passover lamb. And He died for us. He was the Lamb of God that came to be slain for the sins of us all. Amen? But He also, He is the unleavened bread. He was that bread that had no sin, wasn't He? He had no sin. John chapter 6. Chapter 6 of John. Verse 32, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the true bread. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Woo! Glory. He gives us life. This bread gives us life. This bread we're about to partake of here is symbolic of that bread. And there's life in it. If you've judged yourself, if you've gotten yourself right, there's life in it. Do you want to have that life and that more abundantly? I do. Don't you? I want to have that life more abundantly. Don't have to turn there, but John 10:10 says, "The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Okay? Jesus in verse 35 of chapter 6 of John says, "I am the bread of life." Notice He says, "I am," present tense. Brother, I appreciated that. I am, present tense, today, right now. He is the bread of life. "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Hallelujah. He is the bread of life. Verse 51 says of chapter 6, "I am the living bread." He said He was the bread of life over there that gave life. Now He says, "I'm the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." Don't you want to eat on Jesus? "And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Verily, verily, verse 53 says, "I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Get this morning's tape, know about the last day. "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I am him." Don't we need Jesus in us? We need Jesus in us, don't we? We need more of Him. You know, there's a saying that went around, and more Jesus, more, give me more. You know, we need more Jesus, don't we? Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. There was something I looked up here in chapter 11 a long time ago, and I thought it was very interesting. Verse 30. Jesus talking to His disciples, and He was praying prior to this. And he's verse 28, He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That word yoke is my intimacy is easy. It's easy for me to love you. Would you love me back the same way? Would you get close to me? Would you draw nigh unto me? Draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you, the Scripture says. We need to have a closeness. Look over in Song of Solomon. Hallelujah. This is a beautiful picture. Song of Solomon. Go to Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, then Isaiah. Song of Solomon. Here is this beautiful love story, as it were. But there's some things that I've marked in here that really stood out for me. Perhaps they will stand out for you. We find in verse 16 of chapter 2 of Song of Solomon, it says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies." My beloved is mine. Well, that's a personal man. I want to get a hold of him. I don't want to let him go. He's mine. You can't have him. I want him. It's a closeness, isn't it? It's a love relationship. It's like my wife's name is Linda. Linda is mine and you can't have her. It's that intimacy that he wants. That same intimacy is what he's speaking of here. Over in chapter 6, verse 3 says, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies." Again, it's repeating itself. I am my beloved's. I belong to Jesus. He's mine. I have the love relationship with Him. We're close, the two of us. We walk and talk together. In the cool of the day, in the hot of the day, we're walking and talking. We're communing. I never could figure out why people wanted to stop talking to Him and let Him stop talking to you. You know, there's a time for us to talk, but there's a time for us to listen. We need to listen to Him, don't we? And He'll give us answers. I tell you, at work, there's not a day goes by that I don't ask Him something, an answer that I need, and He gives me the answer to it. That quickly, He'll speak to me. "Why don't you do it this way?" "Oh, okay. That's easy." I have a little expression, "That's easy with Jesus." And that's what it is. It's easy with Jesus. Chapter 7, verse 10. Look, there's a change took place here. It says, "I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me." I've got so close to Him. I've loved Him so much that finally I got His attention. And He loves me just as much back. His desire is towards me. He wants to give me the desires of my heart because His desire is towards me. He doesn't want to withhold anything from me because He loves me just as much. Oh, that love relationship because of the Passover Lamb. How beautiful this is. How beautiful this picture that's painted. And there's so much in this Song of Solomon. But He wants you to know, first of all, to love Him. Come to Him first. "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." Come to Him. Come to Him. I believe that's what most of in the body of Christ want. You know, they're looking for phileo love, that love in the world. They're looking for somebody to grab a hold of them and hug them and hold them and tell them how wonderful and beautiful and things that they are. And that's good. But you know, the Lord wants to do that too. He wants to hold you. He wants to tell you how good you are. He wants to tell you how beautiful you are. You know, because He sees something inside of me that you don't see. He sees that beauty inwardly. Amen. He's looking on the inner man. Hallelujah. What a beautiful picture. You know, I read through this book, and I read through this book of Song of Solomon. And the Lord gave me a song for my wife out of it. And, you know, as the song began to come, I began to weep. Because it wasn't only a song for my wife, it was a song for the Lord. And before I sang it to my wife, I sang it to the Lord and wept. But it was so beautiful to know that the Lord, who gave me the song anyway, I was just singing His song back to Him. And I told my wife it was for her, which it was. And we had our wedding anniversary, our 30th wedding anniversary last year, and that's what the song was for. I said, "Lord, I want to give her something special. You know, we can give her things here and there, but I want to give her something that she can hold on to. I'm going to type it up, and I want to get it nice and get the sheet music out and put it all together, you know, and maybe she'll treasure it." And I didn't sing it to her around any of my children or anything. It was just her and I. Just like that first time when we were dating, we were going together and we were, you know, it's just, it was an intimate song just for the two of us. And that was so special. And, you know, she appreciated the fact that I would go and write something for her and do something like that. But it was because of my relationship with the Lord, because I loved Him. Now, this is hard to explain, but I loved Him more than I loved her. I still love her, but I mean, that relationship, I didn't want it ever to die. I don't ever want to be out of the will of the Lord. I don't ever want to be away from Him. I want to commune with Him daily. You know, I've in my life, the Lord has done some awesome things because I've asked. You know, sometimes we ask, and the Scripture says in James, we ask amiss, don't we? But if we ask, God will do some awesome things. And I've asked the Lord, I said, I want to be translated. I want to be translated. If you did it for this man Elijah, and they couldn't find him, and you did it for this man Philip, and he was moving about, Lord, the Scripture says you're no respecter of persons. And surely you can do it for me, so that I can work for you in the kingdom. That's the only purpose. It's not to have a thrill. It's not like doing a bungee jump or anything of that nature, jumping out of an airplane. It's not for any of that. It's so I can be about my Father's business. Look over in John again. I want to show you something here in John. And if you'll take this to heart, this is something that Jesus said Himself. And if you'll take this to heart and use this for you and say this particular scripture for yourself, then maybe the Lord, you know, you're going to get this relationship and you're going to have a closeness with Him, and you'll be about the Father's business. But over in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said something that is so awesome. And I've taken it, even though Jesus said it, I've taken it and personalized it for myself. But why don't you personalize it for yourself this evening? Verse 34 says, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. That's what our meat is. That's what we're to do. To finish the work that Jesus started. Amen. To take back the kingdom. Glory to God. To take the kingdom. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord is just desiring this evening here to get into a love relationship with you. And this is a special time. We're going to present ourselves before the Lord as a body of believers, as men and as women that love the Lord. But more importantly, He wants to develop the relationship with you. For without relationship, you know, it's hard to do the things. You know, if I didn't have a relationship with my wife, I wouldn't want to please her. You see? And if she didn't have a relationship with me, she would not cook for me. But it's because of the relationship. She wants to do these things, and I want to do these things. And it's the same thing with Jesus. Because of the relationship, I want to do something for Him. I know my calling, and I know my election for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I find that most people in the body of Christ do not know their calling or their election. But the Lord wants to give you what your calling is and what you're supposed to be doing for Him. Amen. And He wants to personally speak to you. He wants to personally give it to you. And He will if we can get our place to receive. How many of you, don't you have to show hands, how many of you really want to have a love relationship, an agape relationship with Jesus? Yeah, you know that agape, that's a tremendous word. Because it is a word that word agape is a word that I want to give more than I'm going to take. I want to give to You, Lord. I want to do what I can for You, Lord. I want to, Lord, send me. Use me. So this evening here, let's begin to focus, get your heart on Jesus. Remember the time you got saved. Wasn't that a joyous moment in your life? Wasn't that a time when Man, just all those burdens and all those cares and all those jokes and all that garbage that was there, you forgot about. Remember that time? And it was just a glorious time and you just felt so good and you felt like somebody finally has loved me. Somebody finally. Thank you, Jesus. What happened? Are we like the church of Ephesus? We forgot. We forgot about that feast. We forgot about coming into His presence on a daily basis. It's good to take communion daily. And it doesn't have to be ritualistic. You know, the great men and women of God in the past, they daily took communion. I'm serious. And it was not ritualistic. Because they had a love relationship. It's just like in the morning when you get up, the alarm clock goes off. You roll over and you, you know, look at your wife. She looks at you. But you loved her anyway and she loved me. Despite how the hair was. Jesus wants to love you the same way, despite what you look like on the outside. It's on the inside that He's concerned about. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we need tonight to get ourselves ready. Start getting prepared. Just start speaking to Him. Just shut your eyes if you need to. Just get yourself. Say, Lord, you know, it's been a long time since I let You really love on me. It's been a long time since I've really loved on You. I've been asking a lot of things. I've been hitting the door, you know, the throne room of grace. I've been pushing that door and I've been wanting some stuff all the time, but I've not been listening, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, tonight I want to develop this relationship. I want You to become the center of my life always. Lord Jesus, I'm asking You this evening, Lord, to visit Your people here. And Lord, when You visit Your people, there's a change that takes place. There's a change that takes place. Lord, love on Your people. Love on them, Lord. Love on them, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we're coming this evening here to partake of this love feast and put us in remembrance of these things. And Lord, as we take of this bread, we know that this is living bread and it brings life unto us. And Lord, the life that we need is Your life so that we might be about our Father's business, so that we might be doing the Father's will. Lord, we're going to partake of this cup this evening, this cup of the new covenant. It's a far better covenant than anything that's ever been established. Lord, and I thank You as I come this evening, as we come this evening here to partake of these things. Lord, that we've judged ourselves already. And Lord, as we know, we found ourselves lacking. We ask You to forgive us, Lord, right now. Forgive us of our sins and our iniquities and our transgressions. Lord, and cleanse us this evening, Lord. For if You cleanse us, Lord Jesus, we shall be whiter than snow. And Lord, that we would stay a cleansed vessel before You. And Lord, that You would use us in the days ahead. Use us, Lord Jesus. Use us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your visitation this evening. Thank You for Your visitation. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. We praise You and we thank You, Jesus. Lord, I thank You because You're visiting Your people now. That You're ministering. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Develop within me, Lord Jesus. Develop within me that desire to come daily before You. Lord, that I would set myself in a place that I would come before You and we could commune together. For I am My beloved and My beloved is mine. Lord Jesus, that we can draw nigh to You. That's our desire, Lord. That's our desire. That's our desire, Lord Jesus. Our desire is to please You. Our desire is to please You, Lord.
I am my beloved's, and His desire is towards me. His desire is towards me. Just to yourself say it. His desire is towards me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for moving, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The awesomeness of your presence. The awesomeness of your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Prepare these your people, Lord. Lord, restore unto some. Restore unto some the joy of their salvation. Joy that was there. The relationship that was there, Lord. Restore unto them, Lord. Restore, Lord. Prepare them. Prepare them, Lord. Them, Lord. Heal all those wounds, Lord. Heal those things as only You can do, Lord Jesus. Heal them, Lord. Heal them, Lord, for Your people here this evening. Move over them by tape, Lord. Move. Move, Lord Jesus. Develop the relationship with them, Lord. Cause them to yearn for You, Lord. Cause them to yearn for You, Lord. Develop them, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Evening here, the Lord's saying that there's some cleansing going on. He's doing a cleansing within you. It's all right for some of you men just to let go. You know, if you got to shed a tear, let it go. Bread of affliction. Bread of stripes. And we can be healed. I believe today that a lot of people need a healing in their emotions. And without getting into witchcraft or anything else, I know the Lord, through the supper, the Lord's supper here, and through the bread, can heal those emotions. And the wounds that have been inflicted upon you internally, He can heal those. And I would like and ask you this evening here, if you would, just to, in order, to come by. Let's start from this side first, if you would like. And just come on through. Now, you're going to come in one gate, and you're going to go out another. But I pray that this evening, that there's a change that takes place in your life. This is the most awesome time for us as Christians. And it's time for us to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a time for Him to love on you like never before. And you to love back. And to be healed of these things that you need to be healed of. This evening, if you would, just come. Mildred, you could start here. And just come partake. Just get you some bread. We're going to do it differently. Yeah, just hold on to it. Yeah, please. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus took the bread and He broke it. I'm just breaking it. You don't have to break yours. And you know, I could see Him raising it up. He broke it. I'm sure the loaf, he probably broke it. And it may have shattered in pieces. I don't know, but He broke it and He lifted it up. He says, take and eat. And with this, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, as you eat of this, that He'll change your life. And He'll give you His life in a greater measure. So with me this evening, let's take this bread and expect to have a greater life in Jesus. Amen and amen. Take and eat. This cup that we're about to partake of is the New Covenant, as we all know. I don't suppose there's many in this United States that know about covenant and the importance of covenant. Those in other countries understand covenant and they abide by their word. We in America don't abide by our words. We say things and then it's easy to break it. But I tell you this evening, when you partake of this cup, I want to bring you in remembrance of the covenant that you're entered into, you've already entered into, but this reinforces it this evening. It's that covenant, bilateral, that you have with Jesus and Jesus has with you. And He gave us a commission, all of us. None are exempt, and it's not for a special select group. But He gave us a commission to go into all the world and to take the gospel of the kingdom. And as we go into the world, He'll work with us. Expect that. So this evening, as you come, partake of this cup, think on the covenant end that you have to fulfill. He's fulfilled His already. He's given you everything that you need. Those of you perhaps this evening are just saved, that's wonderful. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. And drink some of that water. So if we could, let's start on this side first. And let's just come get our cup, those of you that would like. I expect something to happen in your lives. I expect a change to take place. If you're for real with Jesus, He'll be for real with you. My wife does the cups at our place, and she prays and asks the Lord how many to set out. And in all the years we've been doing it, I don't know that she's ever missed it. It's always been exactly the number of cups is the number of people we have. Put your cups up unto the Lord. Amen. You want to ratify this covenant? Amen. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I lift this cup up. Symbolic of the new covenant. Lord Jesus, I recognize in my life that I have failed and not fulfilled my end of the covenant. Before I partake of this, I ask You to forgive me. Lord Jesus, with all of my heart, with all of my spirit,
I desire
to fulfill my end.
Thank You, Jesus,
that You have given me
everything I need
to fulfill my end.
I take this cup now,
and I drink,
knowing
that I shall
be one of those
that You will use
in these last days.
In Jesus' name, drink.
I just want you to real softly now, even as the Lord is doing this, I want you to sing that song. I love You, Lord. I love You, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship You, O my soul, rejoice. I joy my King in what You hear. Make me a sweet, sweet sound in Your ear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.